Thanks for listening. The following audio is a teaching from Calvary Tucson's Young Adult Ministry, Ignition. For more teachings, information, or if you'd like to support our ministry, please visit us online at ignitiontucson.com. We pray you're blessed by the message.
So, Father, we do turn our eyes to you. Lord, in the midst of the chaos of this world, the world is showing its true colors right now, Lord God, that it cannot satisfy, that it is not steadfast, Lord, that it can fail us. So we look to you as the only one who is incapable of failing us, our creator, our maker, the lover of our souls. So we turn our eyes to you, Lord, right now. We look to your word. We pray that you'd open up our understanding to it. Give us the Holy Spirit to be our teacher this evening. And I pray for those sitting in their homes or their cars or wherever they're at, Lord, streaming in tonight, Lord God, that you'd just touch them, you'd speak to them and bless them as we look to your word, that it would not return void tonight as you've promised. In Jesus' name, amen. What the Lord put on my heart was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So I'm going to share this passage with you guys. And the title is Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark. So if you go to the store, there are all these cool products, right? And they have this chemical in their paint and in their plastic that will absorb light and actually hold that light, carrying that light into the darkness, right? It'll actually glow in the dark. My son has these really cool pajamas, actually. They're space pajamas. And they're covered in stars, and they have like little rockets on them. And when you turn out the light, some of the stars glow in the dark, but not all the stars actually glow in the dark. In fact, when the light is on, you can't tell the difference between the special stars that glow and the stars that just fade away in the dark. Well, the same is true for you and for me. We as Christians ought to glow in the dark. In fact, every true Christian should glow in the dark. It is a telltale sign that you are a true believer. And I want to ask you, do you glow in the dark? We're facing times of trouble and trial right now. A lot of people say the worst is yet to come, even with this pandemic that we're in the middle of right now. Are you shining? Are you glowing right now? Or have you faded into the dark? And that's really the question that I want to pose to you guys tonight, that I feel like the Lord is posing to me and to you as well, that we have these two different stars, these types of people. On one hand, you have those who, when the lights shut off, that is the true test. And it reveals who are glowing for Christ, who are truly disciples of Jesus, who have the light of God within them. You see, the cool thing about that chemical that they put inside these toys and this paint and this plastic is that it's activated by light. That when it's in the light, it actually soaks it up. It absorbs the light. And Christian, you and me, we should be absorbing the light, the love of God. It says in the scriptures that we should put on the armor of God so that we may be able to stand in that evil day. That when times are good, when we have the ability to study, to seek the Lord, to be blessed with church services, that we would be growing, we would be soaking up the light of God so that when dark times, when the evil day does come, we would be prepared and we would shine as lights, as those who glow in the dark. So what we're going to look at in this text here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you guys want to turn there, we're going to see two different types of people. We're going to see those who are of the night, as the scriptures say. These are the stars on my son's pajamas that just fade away. You turn the lights out and they're gone. They blend in great with the darkness. And we're also going to look at those who are children of the light, sons and daughters of the light, as the text tells us. And these are different. These are those who glow in the dark. And this is hopefully describing you. But we're going to look at what it looks like to be those who walk in darkness and to be those who actually are children of the light, who glow in the dark when the difficult times come. So let's take a look here. We're also going to look at the day of the Lord, the rapture, the end times. And so whenever you see the day of the Lord in Scripture, basically it's talking about the tribulation period specifically and the end times as a whole, generically. And so referring to the tribulation period, it's not a coincidence that chapter 5 is preceded by the rapture explanation in chapter 4. And what Paul says in chapter 4 is, he says, "This we say to you by the word of the Lord." He says that we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ, he says. He said, but the Lord will descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. And then he said, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet them in the air. And it says, thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And it is a comfort because we are to be delivered from the hour of trial that is to come on the earth. The promise that Jesus gives the church of Philadelphia in Revelation, the promise that he gives us here in chapter 5, that we are not appointed to wrath. So I just want to clear things up a little bit. Why is it so important that the rapture happened before the tribulation period? I'll give you two important reasons right now. One reason is because we have not been appointed to wrath. The tribulation period is God pouring out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting world as a last attempt to get them to turn to him, to repent from their sins. God will not pour out his wrath on the earth while the church is here because we are not appointed to wrath. In fact, the wrath that you and I deserve as Christians was poured out upon Jesus at the cross. And so it's so important, so crucial that we understand that we do not receive the wrath of God. Therefore, we have to be removed before that wrath takes place in the tribulation period. The second important reason why we are removed before the tribulation period is because during the first 3.5 years of tribulation on earth, God is pouring out his wrath indirectly by removing his hand of blessing. If you read through Revelation, you'll see the curses, the things that take place as God's wrath is poured out, they're actually a removal of his protection, a removal of his blessing. And in order for God to do that, he has to take the church out of the way. It says this in 2 Thessalonians, that he who is resisting will continue to do so until he is removed. And then, once this resistance is removed, the Antichrist will then be revealed. And so the church, the Holy Spirit working through the church, must be removed in order for the tribulation period to be enacted, in order for that removal of God's blessing and protection on the earth must take place. And so those are two reasons why the rapture will take place, why Paul precedes the day of the Lord here by the doctrine of the rapture. And so now we're going to look at the day of the Lord specifically here in chapter 5. So read with me, would you? It says, now concerning the times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need that I write anything to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. They will not escape. So Paul gives us a few things here, a few details about the day of the Lord. Number one, the day of the Lord happens like a thief. What does that mean? Like a thief in the night. It happens quickly. It happens suddenly, rapidly, you could say. You see, when a thief goes to break into your house, he doesn't enact a month-long process of walking up your yard, of picking the lock on your door, of slowly working his way through a window. It's not even an hour-long process. It's an immediate thing. They show up in the middle of the night when you don't expect it, and then they break in suddenly. And then all of a sudden it's upon you. Jesus said the same thing. He said, he comes like a thief in the night. He comes quickly. He comes when the world is not expecting it. So one important fact. Another important fact that we see here is that it happens, the day of the Lord is sprung on the world during a time of peace and safety. Now, this is amazing because we've tasted this firsthand. Those of you guys who are watching the news, those of you who are seeing the stock markets, we've literally seen this before our eyes, that we've experienced up until a month ago one of the most prosperous times economically in our country. We were in an economic boom. Things were going very well, very healthy, and all of a sudden, literally overnight, the things get turned upside down. The stock market crashes because of this virus, because of this pandemic, and it shows you how fragile this world really is, right? But Jesus said it would happen. Paul says here, at a time when there's peace and safety. It says as in the days of Noah, when they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage and working, and everything's just business as usual. That's when the day of the Lord will come upon them suddenly, will come upon the world suddenly. And then the third thing this text tells us is that it's like birth pangs, that it comes like a woman who's giving birth, who's in child rearing. My wife happens to be 6 months pregnant. She just entered her third trimester. And so what happens, she's starting to get really uncomfortable. And God bless her, it's our fifth kid. That's right, I said fifth kid. And yes, I'm kind of crazy, a little crazy. But I love my wife, and I really love kids. So we're expecting our fifth kid, a baby girl. And as I said, she started her third trimester, and she's beginning to feel a lot of these things called Braxton Hicks. And what these are basically practice contractions. Her tummy, her uterine wall is warming up for the main event when the real labor happens. And what happens to a woman when they're in labor is that these contractions, as they get closer to delivery day, they get harder and harder, more intense, and they get closer and closer together. So they start to happen rapidly, at a more rapid rate, right as the end is about to take place. And are we not seeing that, guys? I mean, we've been seeing people, preachers, talking about how the end is near for the last 100, 200 years because of all the earthquakes that have been taking place, all these cataclysmic events that have indeed arisen in frequency. But come on, have you guys been watching the news the last month or two? Look at all these earthquakes back to back to back. The famines, the pestilence, the locusts in Africa, the flooding, the fires. I mean, it's all happening at once. And it's got my eyes on the skies. Like I'm to the point where I feel like I might not even be able to finish this teaching. The Lord could come back at any moment. This thing could take place even tonight, guys. Are you ready for it? Are you glowing in the dark? But these birth pangs, they're taking place. They're increasing in their frequency. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what Jesus said we would see in Matthew 24. He says, don't be alarmed concerning these things, but as the frequency increases, know that the end is near, that it's coming, that it's at the door. So now we're going to take a look at those. He says, they will not escape these things. Who are they? Who is he talking about? He's speaking of those who don't glow in the dark. He's speaking of the children of the darkness, those who walk in darkness here. Let's pick it up in verse 4. He says, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, he says. So who are these who will not escape these things? Well, Paul gives us a few details about these people. And he says, number one, he says they are those who are of the darkness, those who are of the night. You know, in the book of John, it says that man hated the light, but they loved the darkness because of their sin. Because in the darkness, they could hide their sin. There was a sense that they could hide from God as they camped out in the darkness. But it says those who are righteous come into the light that their deeds may be known and seen. Those who are of darkness don't deal with their sin. They remain in hiding from God. They might be able to put on a facade in front of those around them, like my son's pajamas. When the lights are up, all the stars look the same. But when the darkness hits, they blend right in with the darkness. They love the darkness because they like to hide out. They like to hide from God. And I pray that that's not you. I pray that you come into the light, that you confess your sins to the Lord, that you're open with your friends and your family about your own struggles, and especially you're open to the Lord as you allow him to do that heart work in you. But the people who this will come upon suddenly, who will not escape, they are hiding out in the darkness. They're people of the night. Secondly, it says that they are asleep, that they are spiritually unaware. They're just completely out of it. This tells me that these are individuals who don't know the Word of God. They do not have the Word of God in their hearts and in their minds, and they're spiritually unaware of what's taking place. They see events, they see circumstances around them, and they don't know immediately what God thinks about those things, or readily what God would think or feel about certain things. It's so important and crucial that as children of light, we know the Word of God, that it's written on our hearts, on our minds, that we're in it daily, And even more importantly, that the Holy Spirit is in us, teaching us what this book has to say to us. So they're asleep spiritually. They're disconnected from God's will because they're disconnected from God's word. And then thirdly, it says that they're drunk. That the people who are walking in darkness, the people who will be caught like a thief in the middle of the night by the second coming, by the day of the Lord, that they're drunk, it says. Now, I believe literally a lot of them are drunk. But I think drunkenness is an amazing picture for everybody who is living apart from Christ, who's living an unsaved life apart from God. And the reason why it's such a good analogy is, well, for a few reasons. Number one, those who get drunk, they're self-medicating. They're taking their problems, their issues, their lack of joy and love and hope. And instead of going to God for those things, they're going to something else. And whenever you go to something else other than God to be fulfilled, to be satisfied, to be provided for, you're going to an idol. And idols always disappoint. They always let us down. So drunks, they go to the bottle. They go to alcohol and they self-medicate. And it feels good for a moment and then it leaves them feeling awful. A lot of people go to other idols. They run to their money. And yet money cannot deliver. Money cannot satisfy. They run to relationships. Any unhealthy relationship. Maybe it's a sexual relationship. Maybe it's a relationship that's just there's too much codependency taking place, or unhealthy communication. A lot of people do that. They'll run to relationships, unhealthy ones, instead of running to God. There's any number of idols, your status, your position, the ways in which you can convince people that you have things together, the facade that you put on. These are all idols, much like drunkenness. The sad thing about drunkenness, the sad thing about all these idols is they leave you impaired. They leave you unable to perceive things. See, when you're drunk, you're not sober-minded. You're not able to think clearly. In fact, many drunk people, they lose self-control. They lose their ability to really make good judgments. And that's the case. If you're apart from Christ, if you don't know God's will for your life, and you're not interested in those things, then you are you're a loose cannon. I mean, there's no telling what bad decisions you might make around each corner serving idols like that, guys. So these are the people of the night. These are the people who walk in darkness, who will be caught off guard. And I hope and pray that this isn't any of you guys specifically, but it may be. Maybe some of you guys are sensing that you've been in the darkness. He goes on to explain a little bit more, those who are children of the light. So look with me here to verse 8. He says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love." So a couple of things he mentions here about those who walk in the light, those who will escape the hour of trial that is to come upon the earth. They have faith. They put on this breastplate to guard themselves with faith. It's a breastplate of faith. These are individuals who believe and trust God even when they can't see what God is doing. They look at the circumstances that we are facing even today and they still hope. We can look at what is happening out in the world and we can not just have hope that, oh, this will all be over one day. We can actually have the faith to be excited in what God is doing here and now. Do you guys believe that God is working amazing things eternally right here and now in the darkness? Now, we all want deliverance from this, and that's okay. That's not a bad thing. But consider this. Maybe things are going to get a little darker and a little harder for God to accomplish even greater things eternally. Do you have the faith to be able to walk through even darker days than these, knowing, believing, trusting that God is saving more souls, God is working more and more eternal blessings in your life and in mine through these dark days? I believe, and I can sit back and feel, I can sense the stress come upon me from the circumstances we're facing, but I can remove that and get excited because of faith in Jesus. Because I have faith, I believe that my God is doing something great here and now. Amen. And then secondly, he says that breastplate is the breastplate of love as well. One of the greatest working definitions of faith, my pastor, Pastor Robert, says this a lot. He says, faith is believing God enough to do what he says. Simply believing God enough, not just to say you believe, believing him enough to do what he says. And whenever faith is moved to action, love is the manifestation of that. Faith always manifests itself through love in action. And so, Christian, the children of the day, those who are glowing in the dark, are you loving those around you right now? Are you excited for what God is doing and looking for opportunities to love those around you? He goes on, he gives us another detail with those who walk in the light. He says, for a helmet, they have the hope of salvation. So we put on this helmet. The idea of spiritual armor, at least in Ephesians 6 with the helmet of salvation, is that you would guard against the enemy being able to attack your mind. We put on this helmet of the hope of salvation. So those who walk in the light, those who glow in the dark, when the lights go out, they have this hope with inside themselves that even when the things seem as bleak as can be on this side of heaven, there's still a hope. There's still this idea that God is going to use this to bring about my deliverance. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said, you know what, even if God doesn't deliver us from the fiery furnace, we will still serve him. Those guys had hope and faith in the midst of darkness. I think of Job, who said, though God slay me, though God kill me, yet I will still hope in him. And let me ask you this, who else can you go to for hope? Who else can you run to? Peter said, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life, Jesus. And that's those who have that mindset, like Peter, like Job, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in times of darkness, who cling to the hope of God and feel that strength. They are those who glow in the dark. Are you glowing in the dark, Christian? Are you glowing in the dark right now? Now, I love that as Paul spurs them on and says, hey, have hope. Put on this helmet of hope. He doesn't just say it. He gives them reason to be hopeful. And he says it in verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, he says, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that we might live in him. He's saying, you guys should be hopeful. Yeah, things are crazy right now. You could even die right now. But know this, hope in this. You will never have to experience the wrath of God, ever, because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The price has been paid. The sin debt is done with. And your sins and my sins are gone. So though we will face tribulation, though we may even die, suffer and die on this side of heaven, man, we can rejoice. We can have that hope because as Paul says, hey, whether we wake or sleep, whether we live or die, we have the hope of salvation because we will never taste the wrath of God. I like to say that we can face all these dark days knowing, with hope, knowing that Jesus faced the darkest day in history, that he experienced the full wrath of God for us so that in our darkest days, we would still have this light, this hope, that it will never get that dark for us. In fact, we have awaiting for us a bright, shining day of glory, of eternal glory for us. We have so much to be thankful for. So what group do you find yourself in, guys, as we examine ourselves? Which group do you belong to? Those who are of the night or those who are of the day? Those of you who belong, who glow in the dark, I want to speak to you. It says here, in fact, as he wraps up this section, he says, therefore, encourage one another. Build one another up just as you were doing. Keep doing it, guys. Keep glowing. Keep shining for Christ. Keep hoping in the Lord. Keep sharing the hope in the Lord. Keep walking in faith and loving one another. For those in darkness, I won't even necessarily address. There are those in darkness who, though they hear this message and 1,000 others like it, they will not turn from their ways. And I don't say that to be pessimistic. I say that because God knows that there are a number of people who have to face the tribulation period in order for them to finally wake up spiritually. And you know what's amazing about the tribulation period is that it is the greatest time, one of the greatest times of revival happens during the tribulation period. As God's wrath is being poured out, he's turning hearts and men's attention to him. In fact, it says in Revelation that there's a great number of saints that come out of the tribulation period that cannot be counted. People who get deathly serious for their faith in the Lord during the tribulation period. So this amazing work is happening. But a lot of people, they're not going to hear it until then. And even some won't even hear it then, sadly. But I want to speak to those of you who are on the fringes right now. Maybe you're sensing you are in darkness. You're on that boundary where the shadow meets the light. I want to encourage you. I want to invite you. No, I want to urge you to step into the light. And the amazing thing is you can have that hope, guys, as we're facing these cataclysmic events around us. The world is going crazy, and it might even get worse. It might even get crazier. I want to encourage those of you who are in the darkness to leave that behind. Step out of the darkness. Get serious, guys, with your relationship with God. Take this book seriously. Turn to Jesus. Have the hope of heaven, that whether you live or die through this, you know where you're going. That you have the assurance of eternal salvation and the joy of a relationship with the living God. And so I encourage you to do that now. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm going to lead you in prayer if you would like to receive the Lord. But I urge you to do business with the Lord. It's so simple. And you don't have to, I'm not going to tell you to, hey, go read your Bible for a week straight and hopefully you don't die before then, or do this or that so you can earn God's favor. You can have this assurance in a moment. As you open your heart, as you seek God genuinely and open yourself to a relationship with Him. So let's pray together. So Father, I do thank You for all the men and women who've tuned in with me. And I pray, Lord God, for those who are on the fringes, those who are in darkness and they're aware of it and they want to leave it now. Lord, they're seeing the things happening and they want to turn to You. I pray that You give them the boldness, the courage to be resolute in this decision. To walk with You, to live with You, to live for You, to allow You to be the Lord of their life. I pray that they would have the confidence, the boldness to make that decision now and live that decision for all of eternity. Lord God, so speak to their hearts right now. And if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus right now, it's so simple. If you desire Him, He's seeing your heart right now. He sees your desire and He wants to come in. But He will not force Himself in there. Open your heart right now. Think of the things that you feel guilty about before God and let Him see all those things. Let Him touch those things. Invite Him in. Stop hiding. Stop running from Him. Stop putting your sins before His will for your life and surrender to Him this moment. And if you'd like to do that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The prayer doesn't save you, but this is just a roadmap to help you communicate to Jesus, as that might be a little awkward for you. So follow me in this prayer. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I have sins and that I have been in darkness, but I desire to come into the light. So I turn away from my sins so I can live for You, so that I can receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers, so that I will never have to experience the wrath of God, because I believe Jesus experienced that for me. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.